Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Will you please pray with me? Lord God, our Heavenly Father, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be pleasing to you, our Rock and our Redeemer. In the name of Jesus, amen. So I believe that as we preachers preach or do whatever we do, I think we know what we're doing at least. A lot of times we preach sermons and we teach things and, you know, for us, we've been in this culture, at least for me, I've realized it's been well over 20 years that I've been in this culture being immersed in theology. Now, I do not claim to be a theologian, although I think I'm pretty good at it, because I've never really grasped God, and I don't think that's possible, right? We do the best we can. But anyways, as we go on teaching and preaching, there are times we throw these churchy words out, and we think, no, everybody's going to know them and the concept behind them, and aren't we happy about that? And the reality is, I believe that over time, as we use words like redemption, justification, and sanctification, become part of our culture, but we really don't understand and grasp the impact that they have not only on our salvation, but our daily living. And so today, you know, I thought, well, these words all appeared in our epistle lesson from Galatians. And I thought, well, why don't we take a step back and focus on what those three words really mean for us? Now, over the years, through my continuing education and conferences I've been to, I found it interesting that there are two camps that exist in Christianity today. There's one camp that says, let's not use churchy words because they scare people away from the church. Doctors still use medical terms, and we go to them, and, they might scare us, but we still go to them, and we need to hear them, right? Airplane pilots use pilots' words and talk about their airplanes, and it's important that they do that because that's how they fly airplanes, and they need to know those things. So I'm not sure if I agree with that one. The other side says, let's just use the churchy words, and people will figure them out as we go. And I'm not so sure if I agree with that either, because after all, I could throw a lot of words at you, but if you don't know what they mean, it's really hard to grasp what we're really talking about. So today, let us take time to focus on what these three words mean and how they really do impact not only our salvation, but they impact our daily lives as well. So redemption. Redemption is a key work of Christ in our lives. On behalf of the Father, in fact, we believe that Christ has redeemed us from sin, death, and the devil. Now let's listen to that again. Redemption is a key work of Christ in our lives. On behalf of the Father, in fact, we believe that Christ has redeemed us from sin, death, and the devil. So today I'm going to do something a little different in our message, and I'm going to give you the opportunity to chat with some people around you and to answer a couple of questions, and then we'll talk about this a little more. Now, if you are lucky and blessed enough to be seated to one of the fine ladies that are in my Wednesday morning Bible study, they know all these answers along with Garrett and Tanner. If you're not near them, I apologize to you at this time, but we will go ahead and have fun. So the first question I have for you to discuss with your friends around you, your family around you, what does the word redeem mean? What does the word redeem mean? So talk a little bit, have fun, don't leave, and we'll see what we come up with. All right, let's come back for a minute. What does redeem mean, or what comes to your mind when you hear that word? Who would like to say something? Trading something for something in return. Okay. Yep, okay, very good. So if you redeem a green stamp or a coupon, you're getting something in return. Okay, good. What else? To buy back. So in essence, if you give the checkout counter person, the cashier, whatever the politically correct term is for that nowadays, I don't know, the late checkout lady, a coupon, what is she doing with that coupon? She's buying it back from you and giving you money for it, right? Any other thoughts?
Pawn shop.
Pawn shop, yep. They redeem merchandise, right? So you understand the concept of redeem. The idea of redemption, redeemed, is that we are bought back. Or, in essence, something is being bought back. And see, that's the power of what Jesus has done for us. The power of redemption, the power of the word redeemed, is that Jesus has bought us back on behalf of the Father from sin, death, and the devil. Because when mankind, when we fell into sin, and because of our sinful nature, let's be honest, we were owned by sin, we were owned by Satan, we were owned by death. That was our lot in life. Until Jesus came to buy us back from those things, we had no hope, no salvation, nothing. We were just aimlessly wandering around as lost and broken people with a future that was certainly not one that had been redeemed. So when we talk about this redemption language, it's the very fact that we confidently believe that in Jesus Christ, in his death, shedding his blood as the sacrifice for our sins, was God the Father acting on our behalf to redeem us, to buy us back from sin, death, and the devil, so that we could live in confidence of this redemption, that sin, death, and the devil no longer have any authority or power over us. Now, redemption is powerful and needs to be talked about a little bit, because today in our common language and our common understanding, we don't grasp it so much. One of the things that I like to think of about redemption and about God's work in general, especially when it comes to Jesus and his work on our behalf, is God is very selfish with his glory. Now, we've talked about this before. God wants the glory. God doesn't want us to have the glory. We've talked about it in the aspect of decision theology and good works. The moment we say in our lives that I've decided to follow Jesus, or the moment in our lives where we say that good work saves us, what we're doing is stealing God's glory. Because in essence, God has done it all in Jesus. And God says, "Give me the glory." That's why we do good works. That's why we live out our faith, to praise God and to thank him and to give him glory for what we've done, not to earn our salvation or to take that glory away. Now, follow me how that works. So often today, when someone dies, I hear this language. Oh, God had need for him, or God must have wanted him. Now, first of all, God doesn't have need for any of us. That's the reality, right? Let's be realistic. The power of this wonderful gospel message is God could have left us alone. He didn't need us, but he loves us so much that he wants us to be with him forever. That's the power of the gospel. And until we come to that realization of it, I'm not sure we can firmly grasp the overwhelming power of what God's love really is, the power of his glory and his grace. And let's also be honest about this, because it makes us uncomfortable to think about it. God does not cause us to die. Death is a result of sin being in this world. Death was set as a punishment or a boundary that was given to us for falling into sin in the first place. Death is part of the evilness that exists in this world. It is part of the kingdom of Satan. That's why death exists. Here's where redemption comes in, and here's where God's glory is at work. For us who are in Christ, when we die, God is on the other side of that death to welcome us into his kingdom forever. He has redeemed death. The glory and grace of his power has taken the sting of death away and out of the hands of Satan and given us eternal victory in heaven because and through death. To take that away from God and to misunderstand the power of redemption in that is to take glory away from God and to really misunderstand the power and the impact of what Jesus has done for us. Think about that. God has redeemed death, our final enemy. We will still die in this world, but now death, because of Jesus and his redemption, his buying it back, buying us back from death, now is our very entrance into eternal life and salvation with Jesus, where perfection will truly reign for us forever. That is how redemption works in our lives. And when we come to the understanding of that beauty, how much more powerfully we can praise God. How much more powerful is the message of the gospel? Think about that. Does it truly give us comfort to think that God wants to take our loved ones from us so he can have them in heaven? No. The comfort comes in knowing that even though our loved ones die, Jesus has redeemed the grave, and now they are in heaven with him forever. We too will see them. Do you see the beauty of redemption? And as the beauty of redemption takes heart in our lives, as we live that, the message to the world around us is truly a message of the powerful love of God. Justification. Justification is the very key of our salvation. It is the work of Christ on his cross. What does it mean to be justified? That's your next question. What does it mean to be justified? So take a few minutes with each other, talk about that, and then we'll gather back as a group. What does it mean to be justified? Okay, let's come back together. What does it mean to be justified? Yes. No, I'm going to answer that. Good try and a good answer, and there's no bad answer, but that's not what justification means, because we weren't justified by living by the law. We couldn't do it. Good try. That's what God wants and wanted in the first place, but as Christians, that doesn't apply. You see what I'm saying? So good answer. Keep those answers coming, because you know what? We all think those things and we need to have them. But yes. Right? Right? Sure. What else? Save that answer for the next question. Very good. She's looking ahead. Right. Being declared righteous. Justification is a legal term. And when I looked up in a legal dictionary once, it said to be declared right, to be made right, to be looked upon as right. And so what that means is, now if you think about this, we humans strive with trying to be justified on our own by the law, don't we? I mean, that's really what our sinful nature wants us to do. That's why so many churches proclaim works righteousness, and that's why so many churches today believe in acceptance theology, and that's why so many people to say, oh, at a funeral, what's the one thing you hear at almost every funeral? He was a good man. And in God's eyes, that doesn't make a hill of beans of a difference. Because even if we try to live the law perfectly, and even if we do, the reality is we are still sinful because our nature is sinful. So justification means being declared right. So if you go up in front of a judge for a crime and the judge says to you, you are not guilty, I've declared you free, you have been made right, you have been justified, right? Okay, now follow this. This is how justification works in Christianity. Because of the death of Jesus Christ, who also fulfilled the law perfectly for us, right? He had to. Does anybody know why did Jesus have to live a perfect life? Does anybody know that? He was the sacrifice. And he had to be perfect in that sacrifice and in his living. And so that in his death, Martin Luther talks about this thing we call the joyful exchange. Do you know what the joyful exchange is? That on the cross of Christ, he takes our sinfulness and exchanges it for his righteousness. You see? So his perfect life through his death is now credited to you and me. And it's the faith in that death, which comes through baptism and the power of the word, which we'll get to in the work of the Holy Spirit in a minute. It's the faith in that death and resurrection, right? It's faith in his death and resurrection that now God, when he sees us, no longer sees our sinfulness, but sees us as Jesus himself. Now, there is power in that. When we come to the realization that when God the Father, because of grace, because of the work of redemption in Jesus, because of the work of justification on the cross, as Jesus takes our sinfulness away and gives us his perfect righteousness, because of that, covered in the baptismal waters that God gives us in the beautiful sacrament of baptism, God the Father sees us as holy, perfect, and right. Even when we mess up, even in our brokenness, even in our sinfulness, God the Father sees us as perfect, restored, and redeemed. That is the power of the gospel, my brothers and sisters. That is the power of the work of Jesus interacting in our lives. It's hard for us to grasp. It's hard, really, to understand. And Jesus, note what he does not say. You have to understand it and know how it works completely to be saved. And that's not what he says. He says in order to be saved, simply believe it. Trust it. Live in it. Rejoice in it. See, the power of that in our daily lives comes in here. I don't know about you, but I'm a really good sinner. I probably could have an honorary PhD in sinning, and then you could call me Reverend Doctor, right? I'm also a broken person. I have my mountains and valleys, my pains and hurts and trials, just as every one of you have mountains and valleys and pains and hurts and trials. That's the reality of life in this world because it is still fallen and evil. Redeemed, but still fallen and evil. The power of justification comes in here. For me, it's easy, and maybe some of you don't experience that, but when I sin, guilt comes. We'll talk about that in a minute. But then for some reason, Satan likes to dig in a little deeper. You know, he takes that arrow and twists it into my heart a little bit. And then this thing called shame enters. Now, do you know what the difference is between guilt and shame? Guilt says you have done something wrong. And shame says you are evil. You are the thing you've done wrong. You are not worthy of God's love. You see what I'm saying? That's the work of Satan. And so many of us follow down that path in some way or another. An example of that I hear prevalent in our culture and society today, I often work with people who are going through divorce or parents of children going through divorce, and many times you'll hear them say, "Where did I mess up? What did I do wrong? How was I not a good parent?" That's shame, right? Because shame is now telling you, because your child has chosen the wrong path, now you are a bad parent. You have done something wrong. You failed at your job. That's Satan, which leads us away from justification, which leads us away from the work of what Christ has done on the cross. Because our daily living, follow me, we've talked about this before, is a life of repentance. So as I'm living life, as those things enter my life, what does repentance mean? To turn around, to turn away. So as I'm going this way in my life, as I turn around, what is before me? The work of Jesus. His redemption, his justification, his forgiveness, his life, his mercy, his grace, his glory, his love, his perfection. It hits me in the face, and suddenly we rejoice as we see that. Confessing to God, yeah, I messed up. I love you. Forgive me. Restore me and help me to live more for you right now. Justification hits us and causes us to realize that no matter how bad we may have messed up, God's grasp on our life never is removed from us. His salvation is never taken from us. His love continues to beam on us and fall into our lives and our hearts to continue to mark us as in baptism as one who is redeemed by Christ the crucified. That's a different way of living. That's the Christian life. Rejoicing in what God the Father has and is doing in his Son, Jesus, every day for us. Now imagine for a minute, what would Christianity really look like in our world if everybody grasped that? Because what happens when we don't grasp it is the world is filled with hatred, judgment, bigotry, and the list keeps on going. But see, we don't have to do that. Because it's all about the overwhelming love of God that enters and seeps into our lives as we rejoice every day as His children. And knowing that our identity is never what we do or don't do, is never our wrongdoing, is never our brokenness, is never our illness, but our identity is child of God. Sanctification. Sanctification is the work of the Holy Spirit in our daily living out of our lives in and for Jesus. Sanctification is the work of the Holy Spirit in our daily living out our lives in and for Jesus. So your last question, what is sanctification? What is sanctification? And yeah, Judy already said it. So Judy, and she's not even in my Bible class. So Judy, what did you say a minute ago? Made holy. Sanctification is the process of being made holy. Justification happens one time. In the death of Jesus, as we are baptized into it, God justifies us. Sanctification is a process. The day the Holy Spirit enters our lives, He continues to work to make us holy. What does holy mean? To be what? Set apart. Set apart from the world, set apart from the way the world lives, set apart from our sinfulness, set apart from everything else, as God holds us up to the world for one purpose. And what is that purpose? Why does He hold His people up? To be the revelation of Jesus Christ to the world around us. We are made holy through the process of sanctification so that others may see Jesus in us and through us. Sanctification is the work of the Holy Spirit who leads us to honor the law and try our best to follow the law. After all, the law is not null and void, it is still there. The work of sanctification helps that law to mature and grow in us, not to earn our salvation now, but to honor and glorify God. And by the way, so that others will see us and they will know, oh, they're different. Why are they different? You see that? Right? That was the whole point God gave the Ten Commandments to the Jews anyways. Live like this and people will see that you're different. And in living like this and people seeing that you're different, they will know me. It wasn't some mean thing that God gave and rules to lead us to hell. It was simply about showing others who God is. That's the work of sanctification. The work that leads us to daily repentance. The work that leads us back to the cross. The work that matures and grows us in our faith. The work that causes us more and more to come to the understanding and the knowledge and the glory of what God has done for us in our lives in Jesus. And it's a process. And as every process goes, there will be some hard days and some easy days. There will be hard times as God uses sanctification in those hard times to draw us closer to Him and to mold and form us more into His image. But it's all for the intent purpose that Jesus Christ and the power of His love and salvation will be made manifest and known to every person in our world. That's why we're here. We are redeemed, we are justified and made righteous, and we are sanctified. Your salvation and my salvation is perfect and secure. And all there is left to do is to love people so much that they may see Jesus. In His name.